Okay,
we're live, folks. Live on Wednesday night.
Okay, well, Peter's asked me to talk about mandates and how you authorize mandates in the heavens. And I'll talk about that for a while, and then we'll go and do that. And the best thing to do is to practice it and to engage in it. I would say over the last 3 months, I've really learned to see that getting a mandate or an authorization from God is a key to everything. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. I think it's in John's 5:19, I think it says that. And we need to know how we can see what the Father's doing. And when we see what the Father's doing, then we can then frame our world by speaking out of what we see the Father doing. And the key is to be able to engage where you're able to see God's will and purpose on a daily basis. Now I had scrolls and had a destiny scroll which I saw for my life, but then I began to realize that I need to do that on a daily basis. So what I began to do was to step in around the presence of God, around the ark of the presence of God. And you know, the Ark of the Covenant is spelled A-R-K, but actually it really forms an ark, A-R-C, that connects up and brings the presence of God, what you can look into, and the four faces of God and around the ark there. And so daily I practiced for probably 2 years engaging and presenting myself as a living sacrifice before God from Romans 12, 1 and 2, so that I could find out what the will of God is. And then it talks about, you know, finding the perfect will of God, and then it talks about our worship and service, and the word is the same Greek word, but literally it really means our obedience in worshiping by doing what we see him doing. And so I practiced that pathway of engaging through the different veils, and at the time I was just engaging in the tabernacle, which is the heavenly true pattern for what was developed on earth. And that pattern took me through the veil of the way and the truth into through the veil of the life into the very holy of holies, where the presence of God is, where the cherubim are, where the blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat, where he's cleansed everything by opening up that for us to go there. In Hebrews it says through the veil of his flesh, so through what he did on the cross he opened that avenue. And as I practiced that, and as I learned to step in and engage with what was in the ark, you know, in the outer court, going through the cross, so surrendering my life, and then basically going in deeper levels of surrender, in terms of using Hebrews 4:12, you know, dividing soul and spirit, which is the surface layers of behavior, thoughts and intentions of the heart, the motives of the heart, and then, you know, using Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart, and therefore, when he knows our heart, because he knows it anyway, he's revealing our heart to us. That's the purpose of praying that prayer, that he would reveal our hearts to us, and then our hearts can be refined and purified. Then it says, try me, or put me on trial, so use the court system to test those thoughts to see which of those thoughts are from God and which are coming from familiar spirits or from strongholds or other things. And then eventually you get at a deepest level of surrender, really where you're surrendering bone and marrow, which is the source of life, which is really where the DNA is and where you're looking to deal with seed line and bloodline stuff. So after, you know, I practiced this, I went through the patterns of that, wasn't really aware what I was actually doing was surrendering through the different realms of heaven from the kingdom of God, where my mountains are and where our mountains are and where the two courts are, the court of angels and the court of war, the strategy court. And then you're then surrendering to a deeper level, and you're going through into the kingdom of God, and in the kingdom of the kingdom of heaven, and in the kingdom of heaven, you get access to the court of scribes and the court of chancellors, and there there are higher levels of thrones which are to do with kingship, kingdom of God's to do with lordship. When you get faithful in that, you can get sort of promoted, if you like, to a higher level and invested with a higher level of authority and kingship, and that gives you access to those courts. And then ultimately you can engage with wisdom on the heights, which is at the top of the level of the kingdom of heaven, with the gateway there to access into the city of God, into heaven itself with the mountain of God. And in there you have two other courts, or three other courts. You have the court of kings, where you get to administrate laws of the kingdom, and you can establish those laws. You get the court of the upright, where you can engage with the men in white linen, the cloud of witnesses, who also are associated with our mandates and scrolls. And there's also the court of the fathers there, which is connected to the three levels of court system, which is above that in the realm of the heaven of heavens. So as I presented myself through the tabernacle to engage around the ark, I was really preparing myself to be able to engage in those different levels of the judicial area of kingdom responsibility and authority, A, as a lord, and therefore operating under the administration of the king, and seeking mandates from the king to outwork. And then when I got given an orb, and I was given a throne at a higher level in terms of a regional bench of three and different things there, that enabled me to then make laws. And I was taken by wisdom and shown the protocol of how to make a law in the court of kings. And normally, you know, I've been to courts where you present things to the bench in front of you and they do things and authorize things and seal things. But in this instance, I went in before the court of kings, not really knowing what I was going to do, but I found myself sat at a bench and in front of me was a scroll. And just coming out of my spirit, really a flow, I just spoke out a whole series of things which were then just written on the paper and on the scroll. And I then, you know, once it was finished, wisdom then gave me the scroll, and I went and used that scroll, took it into the Court of Chancellors, and they authorized the scroll and they sealed the scroll. So I took it before the bench there and presented it. They sealed it, and then I was taken to the Court of Scribes, where the scribes basically transcribed the scroll, and it was sort of hung up in the air, and then put into record. And so that was a process that I went through. Then I took the scroll and brought it back into this realm, and I presented it before our bench of three, and we took it back into heaven ourselves and took it to the court of strategy to see what do we need to do to get this outworked on earth as it is in heaven. And so with three of us went in there, and we saw together the strategy that we needed to get an earthly agreement. So there was three of us in heaven which formed government, but you needed a fourth, which was earthly agreement, to open up a window so that that could be manifested. And we then presented it before a council of 12 that we have, where seven people on our mountains and ministry team leaders who are involved in that apostolic council, and they authorized it. And we were shown when we saw the strategy that we needed to write this scroll out, print it out, and give everyone a copy. And we signed it, and then each person had their own copy. And then when they felt that they were able to come into full agreement with what was written on it, even though we didn't totally understand it, it was our spirits would come into alignment with it, then they all signed it. And we then, all 12 of us, went back into the Court of Kings, and we then declared it there. And that was the strategy that we got to outwork it. And the next Sunday, I was away somewhere, and the whole first section of that just got at work. There was a dimension of the presence of God and the fatherhood of God which touched people, and the whole law was the law of fatherhood and sonship. And so, you know, God actually administered that, and we saw some breakthroughs and different things that happened immediately. Now there are other things on there that we are still to administer. So that was that sort of pattern of judicial authority. But generally speaking, I would go before the ark each day. In the ark, there's the pot of manna, the tablets of stone, and Aaron's rod. And Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I have food that you know not of. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And so I'm looking to come into agreement with his will for me on a daily basis. So it's like I'm taking that food, which becomes my source of supply for the day, in alignment with God's will, and I resonate with the frequency of his voice and his will for me that day. And as I go into around the hour, I open my heart up, deliberately open my heart and allow him to touch my heart, write on my heart, if you like, or unveil to my heart that which would direct the desires of my heart towards the mandate that I've been given. And that can direct the desires towards the specific mandate for the day. Or I find that it also works towards my destiny scroll, and I find I'm drawn towards things because the desires of my heart gets changed. You know, and then when I have that within my heart, and it's really important that we carry mandates and we carry scrolls within our hearts, because that gives us the authority to administer them. You know, we can't just do it from a head knowledge thing. You know, and what we take into our heart authorizes us to administer the kingdom around that. And that might be a particular mandate for a ministry. It could be people, it could be church, it could be an area. When you carry it in your heart, that gives you greater dimension of authority to release that. When you go on your mountains, when you are administering it, when you're using the keys of the kingdom, declarations, calling things into existence, you do it out of the manifestation of what you have within your heart. And so when I go around the ark, I look to engage with the names of God, you know, the four letters of God's name, the Yod, He, Vav, He, which is the manifestation of four ministry areas and the four faces of God, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. And I've found that by looking into his presence there, that I begin to engage with the four faces. Often one of the four faces stands out and draws me towards it, and I begin to look through from the perspective of being in him, and I can see out of him through the eyes sometimes of the lion, the kingly function, or out of the ox, the prophetic function, or the eagle, the apostolic function, or the man, the priestly function. And ultimately what we're looking to is to see the full manifestation of the four faces of God on earth as it is in heaven through our lives, so that we are a representation of God on the earth. And so I tend to look into his will and purpose there, and then I can speak out of that and begin to frame things around my life. I can frame the favor of God. I can frame things that create connections in the kingdom, because I speak them into existence from what I've received as a mandate within my heart. And then depending on what that mandate is for the day, I would then potentially, I could go, if I'm clear about it, if I know what I need to do, I can go to my mountain, I can administer it there. I often would take it into the court of angels and get angelic assignment attached to it. Or usually what I would tend to do is to take it, depending what it is, sometimes if I need further authorization, I take it into the Court of Chancellors, and I get it sealed with their approval, and then they usually give me a scroll associated with the mandate that I carry within my heart. So the mandate is really just an authorization which shows me what the Father's doing. And sometimes I can get a scroll from the Court of Chancellors. The Chancellors give me a scroll and they seal it. And then I take that scroll sometimes to the Court of War, to the strategy, and get revelation about what I need to do specifically, or to the Court of Angels, and then administer it from there. And if I ever get stuck, I have an angel, and we all have angels associated with our mountain throne that we can connect with, and also we can engage with Wisdom, who's on the heights where the paths meet and where these different dimensional paths and ancient paths come together, and where the entrance is into the city, and where there are doorways there and gateways into other dimensional places that we can engage in. And Wisdom calls to the sons of men, and you can find it in Proverbs 8, and calls to the sons of men to come into an understanding, a connection with her, so that she can help us rule. And it talks about, I think in verse 12, 13, about helping kings, princes, and nobles rule, which is the different levels of authority that you get to rule in the kingdom as lords, kings, sons. And so Wisdom is often a guide. She taught me protocol. I go there and ask her, and I get close to her there. And that's another place you can go if you need direction or wisdom for things that you need to do. So that's the sort of the basic protocols. You have, of course, the mobile court, which is the court you can call to deal with usually personal things in our lives, or maybe things which are obstructing or hindering us, often familiar spirits which will try and direct us or get us in patterns of negative thinking. Use that court to deal with accusations. Another name for the court would be the Court of Accusation. And that's where Satan has the authority to accuse the brethren day and night. And we have, of course, the mobile throne, the throne with the wheels within wheels, that comes and forms the court when we go there. We have an advocate, Jesus. We have witnesses on our behalf. And of course, when we step in there, we become righteous. We're clothed with robes of righteousness because we're standing hidden in God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so there, you can stand under the judgment of God and be found not guilty, no matter what you've done, no matter what your generational line has done, because everything is covered by the blood of Christ and by the covering of the Word of God. And so I learned very quickly to quickly agree with my adversary, is what Jesus said to do when someone's accusing you. Don't argue, because Satan would not be accusing you there if it wasn't true, because he cannot lie before that court. So if you have an accusation from Satan for a familiar spirit, then that accusation will be accurate. Then we come into agreement with it, accept it, renounce it, repent of it. If it's at the access comes through our forefathers, we stand in identification with them and we repent on their behalf and renounce that in our behavior. And then as the judgment of God comes on us and we've found not guilty and we're righteous, then he releases the judgment of God against our adversaries. And so they come under the same judgment because they're in the court. And then we can often get separation papers or court orders or divorce papers that we can then use to separate ourselves continually from the accusations or the mindsets or the familiar spirits that have trapped us in the past. And we can use those divorce papers to remind the enemy that when he comes and tries to bring negative thoughts to us, that we can take them captive, line them up into bringing them into alignment with, does this agree with the Word of God and the Kingdom of God? Is this a lie from the enemy? And we can deal with those things there. You can also deal with accusations that people make against you there. And sometimes those accusations are not correct. They may be false accusations. And the way you deal with false accusations is you forgive and release them. The people who've made the accusations, You forgive and release them, and you know when you've truly forgiven and released them because you can bless them. And you can release blessing upon them. We're not using the court to bring vengeance. We're using it to bring justice. And justice would be, you know, there's a false accusation, but actually my desire is for reconciliation, for a relationship to be restored. Therefore, I want to release forgiveness. And therefore, God can work in that person because I release them for God to minister to them. And then what he does with them, that's up to him because I've let it completely go. And so we can deal with the false accusations. But often, there is often a glimmer or a hint of truth in a lot of accusations that people make against us. We often don't like it. But the reality is often there's no smoke without fire. So we have to be really, really open to ask God, is there something that's true in this? Even if it's a percentage that's true, let's own it. And then we can be set free from it, and then our behavior can change towards that person, or in general, it may be a weak area that we've got we don't necessarily see. And often, people accuse us of things that we have blind spots to, and we tend to defend those because we don't like the accusation. But if we're open and we live in a culture of honor, then we can embrace accusation because it doesn't come as an accusation. It comes as someone giving us insight to see the speck of dust that's in our eye, or the log sometimes that's in our own eye. And we can deal with those type of relationship issues there. It creates an opportunity for restoration. So rather than getting a separation order that you would against a spirit or anything else, here you're really looking for reconciliation. So you're looking to administer being an ambassador of reconciliation, which is what Paul says that we are. And so that all can operate also in the judicial system, in that court. You can stand there on behalf of other people that you're in your spheres of authority. You can stand there on behalf of a nation or a region. Maybe there are things that have been done in those regions which are ungodly, but you can stand there in identification with what's being done because you represent that area in heaven, and that heaven recognizes your authority, and then you can go through the same process to deal with things which the enemy has accusations over the area, which give principalities and powers their authority, and also create cultural things that affect our communities in certain ways. You can deal with those sorts of issues there to bring transformation and change. So that's really sort of the general gist of how the sort of judicial system works. There's other higher realms of that, the Galactic Council, which is the Council of 70, and you know they sit in February through for I think a period of 85 days. And you know I have been to that court a couple of times. I did go and present a case there for my region that I have authority for. And I took it with the prophetic declarations that have been made and visions over the years, and I presented a case before that court. And they said that they would take it under advisement, and they said that they would they needed to see what levels of justice, judgment, and grace would be released according to this mandate. And so there's lots of different things, and there's probably loads of things that I've not yet come across. You know, there are other things in terms of trading floors where you can go and bring things and cast them before God and trade on them. You know, there's things really where there are rooms within the mountain of God, like the treasury room, where you can go and you can, again, trade in terms of financially there to release resources and blessing. There's other sort of dimensions of things that you begin to pick up on. But the key really is to rule and is to establish the kingdom so that that kingdom can be established on earth. So you're looking to open up the everlasting doors. And you have everlasting doors which are associated with, you know, other names for them would be the windows of heaven, that are associated with your spheres that as you administer from your thrones, you're looking to engage with the angels to deal with the atmosphere of the earth and to open those everlasting doors. Because in a sense, you know, Psalm 24, you know, as you are lifted up as a head and a gate, then you have the access to open the everlasting doors so that the King of Glory will come in. And the more you operate in authority there, in your headship, in your rulership and dominion, then you get access to administer those gates. Now, there are things that are in the realm of the kingdom of God around our mountains. You know, we have a mountain which represents us and our destiny, which is ours, and that's where the angel is there caretaking that for us until we're invested with authority on it. But the seven other mountains that are associated with our destiny, they can often be blocked by the enemy. And in symbolic form, you can see those things sometimes as dragons or giants or ogres or ugly-looking things, which often seek to hinder our rulership, and they block the resources that are available to us from those mandates. And if you see those things, then so long as you know your authority in God and you know your call to that area, then you can use the sword of the Spirit and you can deal with them. You chop off their heads, careful, chop off their tails sometimes if you're engaging them head on. You know, I try to come above them and come down on top of them, which is easier. And then split them open, and they release resource, and you see things symbolically within that are usually spilt out from what they carry within them that are associated with your mounting. And that could be scrolls, it could be financial things. Sometimes they're just symbolic things, which are really interesting things that you will find that you will be able to relate and understand what they mean. You know, I've seen things like umbrellas, I've seen things like shoes, all sorts of things that people have had, and they've told me that they have seen released from there those things that are blocking. But then you establish rulership from your mountain over that. So that's the general gist of it, I think. I think that probably would cover most of it. The thing to do now is to just go and do it. So if you want to do it, I'd encourage you to just begin to just close your eyes. Above us is an open heaven. Over each of our lives is an open heaven. Just begin to picture that open heaven. Think about that open heaven over us. The open heaven is the same open heaven that Jacob had over him. And the Lord was standing in the doorway waiting to receive him. It's the same open heaven and the doorway that was open over John, and he was invited to come up here. And Jesus is standing in the door, inviting you to come up the steps and to come up there, in which now he's going to reveal and show you things. So I'd encourage you now just to step up, walk in through the open door. Jesus is standing there in the door waiting to receive you. Now, as you step through the doorway into the realm of the kingdom, just begin to sense. You may feel, just activate your spiritual senses, allow your spirit to guide you and to direct you. Allow all your senses to be activated. You may feel things, you may have fragrances, you may see things, you may hear things. The point is to get perception and allow your spirit to give you revelation in your knowing part so that you know what's going on around you. So just begin to breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. Just open up your heart and just surrender to him right now. Just present yourselves before him as a living sacrifice. He's your high priest. He will prepare you for this journey. Along this journey, you may feel you want to stay in a particular place rather than continuing. Really feel free to go with what your spirit wants you to engage with. And you know, don't be afraid of just staying there and absorbing things. You know, this is a doorway which, you know, I can open using a key to open this doorway for you. But I want you just to begin to sense the freedom and the atmosphere of heaven. You can breathe it in as you make yourself surrender to him. Now, as he'll take you by the hand now as you surrender to him, and he's going to take you through the veils. We're going to go through the veil as we've surrendered our life of the way. This is the way into the kingdom. You can surrender to him as he leads you. So he's going to take you through the dimensions. You may feel what it's like to go through those dimensions. Sometimes it feels like light. Sometimes it feels like you're going through a matrix. You're going through the different veils. We're just going to go through the veils. He's going to take you through the veil of the truth. We'll go through that. He's going to take you through the veil of the life. And as you go through there, just to allow your spirit just to engage with what's going on around you. Now Jesus is just going to take you right through the veil into the Holy of Holies, and we're going to go around the ark of his presence with the cherubim. The blood of Jesus is giving off light, glory manifested around the ark. And again, it's a place where you can just surrender. Open up your heart for him to touch you, the desires of your heart, as we're just going to begin to think about his name, and he will manifest his presence, and you will see the lion and the ox and the eagle of a man as we look into it. So just begin just to think of his name. As the Yod and He and Vav and He, Yod, He, Vav, He, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. The lion and the ox and the eagle and the man. Just look into his presence. And within his presence, he's going to release to you a mandate. You're going to see something of his will for you, a particular mandate for this time. Just sense as he releases that. It may come in the form of words or feelings. It may come in a flow of thoughts. It may come as a scroll that you see something written on or an impression. But just allow him to release that mandate. And as he releases it to you, take it within your heart. Let it touch your heart. You may be drawn to one of the four faces of God. If you're drawn to one of the four faces, you can step in because we're in him. And you may be able to see something from his perspective, from the sphere that this mandate is associated with. It could be an area. It could be a specific ministry area. Just be really open as we're around this, the ark of his presence, to sense what that mandate is. I'm just going to spend a few minutes around this. Just absorb the atmosphere, the presence of his glory. Just allow it to touch you, so you can resonate and come into a harmonious agreement with the mandate that's been released to you, the whole of your being will just resonate and align with this mandate. The desires of your heart will be aligned as you've opened your hearts, he writes this, he unveils it to your heart. And you can take Aaron's rod as a scepter of rulership for this mandate. Now Jesus is just going to take you by the hand again, and he's going to lead you through a dimensional door, through into the court of chancellors, where you can come before the bench of the chancellors with the mandate that's in your heart. And before the bench, they have a scroll. And just look to engage them. They often will seal the scroll. Sometimes you may feel the sense of the cloud of witnesses that gather to observe this mandate and see whether they come into alignment and agreement with it in your life. Just be open to see what's there. You may see colors. You may sense things according to that scroll. Just engage there for a few minutes. Now, for those who are just ready and embrace something there with the scroll, just receive the scroll. Now, Jesus again just takes you by the hand. He takes you back through the realms to the mountain, your mountain, in the heights of the kingdom of God. Takes you to that mountain. There is a throne on that mountain. There is an angel that's standing behind the throne, and Jesus encourages you to sit and be seated on that throne. Now Jesus would invest you with authority according to the mandate that you've received and according to your scroll of destiny. He places a crown on your head. As he does it, sense the crowning with authority that you've received. It carries the anointing. It may have particular colors and jewels associated with it. He places a mantle of authority around your shoulders. Again, it may have a color that you sense, see, feel. And he places within your right hand a scepter of authority, again, often with a jewel. Just receive the scepter and the mantle of authority and just sense how your spirit is invested with lordship. Jesus invests you as lords to administer the kingdom from your mountain. Now, you can look around, look down often, and you often see mountains below this mountain. Sometimes you'll see, if you see them, you can ask Jesus to give you revelation of what the different mountains are for you. You may already understand the spheres that you have. From your position here, enthroned as Lord, under His kingship, you have the authority to rule each of your mountains. Just observe, see if there's anything built there. Sometimes there's a temple structure which the enemy has used because it's drawn worship from something you've done. Sometimes you may see things. You may have already dealt with a load of those things. Just be open to observe. And if you need to deal with anything there, you can either deal with it now or you can go back later. But just observe and see the different mountains that are below. Okay, now Jesus now is going to take you again, and He's going to take you to the court of angels where you can present your scroll. You stand in the presence of the legions of angels. Some will step forward and volunteer. Some will be assigned to your mandate with the authorized scroll that you carry. And as they come forward, you may sense the different orders that they have. Sometimes it's the seraphim, sometimes the kashmilim, sometimes different angels that are associated with what you need to release. Just sense if your spirit is directing you to engage them and direct them. You may send them into the atmosphere of the earth to clear the atmosphere under the mountains that you've been given authorization for the mandate. You may sense that you need to send them ahead to prepare the way, to give you favor with people, to open doors of opportunity, to make connections in the kingdom. Just begin to sense if there's anything where you need to direct those angels according to your mandate. Now, while we were around the ark, the mandate that I received was the authorization to take you to the heights to engage with wisdom. So Jesus, again, just takes you by the hand. He takes you through a doorway. You go through some dimensions. And you come onto the heights where wisdom's pillar is, where wisdom stands. Jesus introduces you to wisdom. There on the heights, you may sense a particular color. Often it's blue. But as you look into the eyes of wisdom, look into her eyes, look deeply into her eyes, and there'll be revelation for you. Just draw near, feel her heart for you. She has a heart for you as sons, for the sons of men. She's been calling you to come to receive wisdom. Just sense her heart, draw near to her. Now, wisdom would just show you the gate where is access into the mountain of God, into the city of God, into Mount Zion. There also are pathways that come together. Sometimes it feels as crossroads. There's also the way, which is an engagement to the timeline. And there are doors and gateposts of the doors. They're in this realm and in this dimension. Now, wisdom would lead you through to a doorway that you can go through. It's a doorway through for you to engage today. Just be open for the revelation of that doorway, where it's going to take you, because you'll be able to go back there. And just allow wisdom to direct you to the right door for today. Now, wisdom would just bring you back through the doorway, and she's now going to take you to the gate that leads into the city of God. And Jesus meets you at that gate. And he takes you to come before the throne of God to cast your crowns before him, to bring back to him all that he's given you in honor as you just kneel and lie, maybe bow before him. Just sense the awesome presence with the throne, the four living creatures, the seven spirits of God, the elders around the throne. Just sense that sense of awe and reverence of his presence. Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, crowned with glory and honor, would invite you to engage him in his kingly form. And he would bring you before him as a lion. And I want you to just sense the freedom, the security, the expansion of your understanding of your engagement with him, that the colors and the frequencies, the vibrancy of heaven comes alive to you as you're in the presence of the Lion, the King. His approval, his affirmation of you as his co-heirs in the kingdom. Just feel the affirmation, the acceptance, and how that expands your spirit to engage in the expanse of heaven, the freedom that that brings. As king, he's also prince of peace. And he would have you lie on him in rest, feeling just like the little child, safe and secure as you rest in his presence. Just let that peace that passes all understanding, just let it touch every fiber of your being, every atom, every particle. Just let it touch it and let peace so rest upon you that you feel so protected, so secure. Now Jesus again just takes you by the hand. He brings you back to your mountain, to your throne. Now just sense how you can rule from peace, how you can rule from rest. And as you sit on the throne with your scepter, if there's anything according to the mandate that you've received today that you need to do, you need to declare, that you need to call into being, that you need to administer, just feel free to administer anything from your throne, from a place of rest and security, but with authority and power an anointing that comes from your crown, your mantle, and your scepter. The canopy of angels is over you as it recognizes your authority. Carry wisdom within your heart, and an authorization from the King. Again, Jesus takes you by the hand. He leads you back through the veils. And you can step back through the door, down the steps back into this realm, carrying with you into this realm that which you have administered in heaven, that you can outwork here on earth with authority and power mandated to you, as you are a gate of heaven on earth to administer the kingdom around you. Okay. All right.
Wow. Wow, that's going to take some unpacking, Mike.
Okay. Basically, in an encounter like that, you know, there's so much places and different things. You know, don't try and absorb it all in once. You know, you may have picked up different things in different places. The thing is, you know, I've opened a door. Now you need to go back through that door over and over. You know, daily go before the ark, looking to the purposes of God for you, the will of God for the day. Get your mandate. You know, then even on the basic thing, just go to the mountain and begin to release it. You know, just practice. You know, the more you go back over it, the easier it will be to engage. It will become a pathway of engagement. You know, I sort of lead people on a little bit of a journey because, you know, we want to learn the pathways as we go. You know, for me now, I can go to any of those places just by thought. I just step into heaven and I can go to anywhere because they are pathways that I have engaged with and they become my pathways. You know, you develop the pathways for yourselves, and then you'll be able also to access them. And often, sometimes I just go and I step into that realm and I ask Jesus to take me by the hand and take me somewhere new. You know, or to take me somewhere he wants to me to engage in the day. You know, and you know, you can always ask him to guide you and ask him to help you in this process. You know, you can go back to wisdom, seek wisdom's direction and help. You know, and there's so many other places you can go in the realm of heaven. You know, the different rooms that are there. You can engage with the seven spirits of God in the training hall. So many places, but it all starts with the same basic pathway. You know, this whole pathway is the pathway of responsibility to rule. You know, the other pathway is equally as important. That you start in intimacy. You engage the garden of your heart. You engage through that. Around the dance floor, and the air is a transformation there, and also you can then engage back into heaven, the river of life, garden of God, tree of life. You know, and there are lots of exercises I've done helping people to get there. You know, that is absolutely key to coming out of a place of relationship, so that you can rule in righteousness and justice. You know, so both of them go together. You know, I open my first love gate every day to engage his presence, to surrender the throne of my life to him so that he can invest authority in me to rule, and then I can access and see that flow through my life as a manifestation around me, so I can see into the realms of the kingdom, but also then, you know, I establish things in heaven. So it's working both things out. One flows from the inside out, flowing from heaven out through our lives, and the other one, we go from the outside in and we engage into the different realms as a living sacrifice on the way in. But yeah, go back there, just keep practicing, share your encounters with each other, you know, because you see things and it's like, wow, what was that? And it helps sometimes just to talk it over and share. But I hope that was okay.
Thank
you, Mike. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Say well. Yes. Well, you're very welcome. It's the privilege to be able to help and be involved. So. That's good. Good. I'll leave it there with you. You've got the rest of the evening to share. Step in again, enjoy it if you like. And,